Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Gail Sylvia, and you're listening to Sylvia Global Media. You know, the advancement of the Asian American community at local community levels and at national levels is on the rise. The role and the voice of the Asian American community is often not as loud and not as present in key conversations as it should be. It's quite my honor today to have joining me again here on Sylvia Global, one of the leaders in this area of work, particularly as it relates to the Asian American and Pacific Islander Faith Alliance and work that's being done at with our U.S. government associated with the faith-based movement. The guest today is Ms. Haepin M., President and Founder of the Korean Churches for Community Development here on Sylvia Global. We're so glad to have her here today to share with us information about a very significant historic event happening next week in Washington, D.C. Haepin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Gail. I'm just honored to be invited, and thank you for your partnership.
Well, we're glad to do what we can to bring, you know, to the forefront important messages that don't often get the kind of attention that they warrant. And we're hoping that Sylvia Global can have a media role in influencing the work that's associated with KCCD, and especially the event, the 7th National Lighting the Community Summit in Washington, D.C. If you can talk to our audience about that 7th National Lighting the Community Summit and the significance of it, that would be very helpful.
Sure. You know, our organization has been in this space of really wanting to advance the Asian American community's participation, contribution, and influence. But particularly what is fortunate is that in the sphere of the government as well as just public sphere, the Asian American Christian voice is often missing, whether it's intentionally dismissed or there is a lack of engagement or connection from the Asian Christian community. And so in the last few years, we have sought the White House for their partnership in being able to bring a delegation to Washington, D.C., and I'm happy to say that actually next week, May 19th through the 21st, we will, with the invitation from the White House, have a convening of Asian Christian leaders from across the country for a historic White House briefing. We're also wrapping our national summit around it, and we have some amazing lineup of speakers as well as participants who in their own right could be a keynote speaker themselves.
Is this new work for the AAPI community? I know that African American and Latino Christian churches and leaders have been engaged politically and served in a wide variety of capacities historically. Is this new in terms of the Asian community and the Asian church community?
Well, you know, it is kind of interesting because depending on how you wrap it and it's packaged, it really, the answer, it depends. But I think that this gathering is historic in that we're looking at the connection or the intersection between church and community. And, you know, with President Obama and also with President Bush, they have had some version of the faith-based initiative, recognizing that faith organizations, faith leaders have something valuable to contribute to this country and that government alone cannot do it in, you know, addressing all the issues and concerns in this country. And so because of that, presidents, both presidents have had many one-on-one meetings with African-American pastors, I should say, with Latino pastors and, you know, white evangelical pastors. But I think kind of the visibility or the recognition of AAPI, Asian American Pacific Islander Christian pastors or leaders, have yet to be still acknowledged. I think that there have been certain issues in which churches, Asian churches, have rallied, you know, around certain causes. I know that for Korean Americans here, when South Korea was under the power of Japan, it was actually Korean American churches here who raised dollars selling kimchi to be able to then fund and support patriots who eventually were successful in helping South Korea to regain its independence. So, and I could give you more recent examples of, again, that kind of activism, but I think they seem to only engage when there are issues that they seem to connect directly as somehow it's biblical or not biblical. Otherwise, there is this kind of a sense that everything else is kind of secular, and we hope that through this convening that there will be greater awareness and also a greater equipping that will happen. And so I actually, three themes is witness, advocacy, and partnership. And so just by going there, we are being a witness in terms of that, what government is doing, but also the witness of what we are and who we are. And then finally, I would say with advocacy, many of our community leaders have not really been exposed to the power of speaking up, and in such, they don't know who to speak to and how to speak the necessary things. And so we hope that through this training, we'll be able to provide that equipping as well as then provide the connections and the platforms with the White House and other government leaders to be able to speak up on the strengths that we have as well as the challenges that our community faces. And then finally, really bottom line is about partnership. And I think partnership is something that's very important. Even God, you know, doesn't work alone. He has reached out to mankind or humankind to partner with him in advancing, you know, and God's kingdom. And so in the same way, I think that faith leaders, churches, especially also in the Asian community too, have something to offer to advance God's kingdom and to advance our country. And at the same time, I think our leaders also need to understand and be aware that government, as well as corporate America and other entities, have also resources that they could bring to the table so that at the end of the day, through that partnership, there will be greater impact, greater people reach, greater people service, and ultimately that God will be honored.
How will success of the summit and the White House briefing, how will that success be defined?
You know, in some ways, I feel like we've already achieved success. And what we mean by that is that, you know, our theme is shining our light to the U.S., to the nation's capital, uniting our voices, bringing our gifts. And I feel that very much in this whole planning process, we have really strengthened the connection and the sense of unity just amongst ourselves. I've been able to meet some amazing people and Asian Christian leaders who have doing amazing work and also have amazing network. I use the word amazing a lot. But in that way, I think our voices are being united, and I know that there are some issues that we will be addressing when we go to D.C. And I don't think that really has happened, again, in the public sphere. In addition to that, I think shining our light, when I talk about the impressive list of speakers, I think even the government leaders who are being invited, they're shocked. The kind of caliber.
I was going to ask you to give us an example of some of the government leaders that are coming that are shocked by the caliber of influencers, being assembled.
Sure. Well, I think that, first of all, usually at many of these gatherings, you know, you have one or two representatives from the White House, but we actually have quite a few who are coming from the White House office of the Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnership. And, you know, amongst them, we have Joshua Dixon, who is the director for the Center for Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnership for the U.S. Department of Commerce. We also have Carol Lambert from the U.S. Department of Treasury. We also have Paul Montero from the Corporation for National Community Service. We also have Phil Tom, who is the faith-based director for the Department of Labor. We have also Brenda Gerton-Mitchell from the faith-based office for the U.S. Department of Education, David Myers from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. I mean, I could just go on and on. And if you go to our website at aapifaithalliance.org, you'll be able to see the list of speakers that are coming from government agencies alone. But I would say that many of our participants who are helping to moderate and lead the discussion, again, in their own right, could be keynote speakers themselves at many of these other conferences.
Mm-hmm. Can we just take a couple steps back into something that you said earlier? Talk about the role of culture as it relates to, you know, how the faith-based Asian and Pacific Islander community may not have been engaged in the past, but culturally how there may be shifts taking place that are making the community themselves responsible for putting themselves at the table, where before culturally it may or may not have been as embraced or an easy thing to do?
Well, let's see. I guess there's so many ways to respond to that question. I'm just thinking that for many Asian American individuals in their home country, there has been a lot of corruption. Not that there isn't corruption here in the United States, but maybe it's a matter of degree. And so in that way, there has been kind of wariness and reluctance, first of all, in being engaged in the public sphere in some ways. But in addition to that, I think just at a theological basis, many times they equate being involved in the public sphere as being not so Christian. And I think the last 13 years, we as KCCD have worked hard to help them to understand that there is a biblical mandate to be effective as Christians in the public sphere. And the example that I give that seems to resonate, at least, is the story of Esther. And in that story, there was a person named Haman who misrepresented the Hebrew people. And if there was no Esther in place, their lives would have been just annihilated. But because Esther was in place and had the relationship and the trust with the king, she was able to call for a meeting and get it. And then through her advocacy, she was able to have the king basically change the law and change the policy. And overnight, without a lot of bloodshed or money or effort, the Hebrew people went from victims to victors. And, you know, I believe whether we as just Christians or as Asian Americans, either one, I think we have a PR challenge. And in spite of all our good work and contribution to this country, again, whether we as Christians, and I don't mean just Asian Christians, I just mean just Christians, period, to the Asian American community, a lot of times there's a lot of misrepresentation or lack of any representation in the media, and such that there is misinformation about our communities. And so then the policy often is unfriendly and to our community and put many members of our community at risk, whether it's on mental health, you know, human trafficking, business, immigration reform, and I could just go on. And we really need the Esthers. And I would say as Christians, as Asian Americans, as Asian American Christian leaders, we have a responsibility to be a voice for the voiceless, and the channel for creating policy change is in the public sphere. And I think that it's been very challenging. I think we still have a long ways to go, but I feel like that our communities are starting to wake up. And for the Korean community, I think 20 years ago, there was the Los Angeles riots, you know, where 50% of the billion-dollar damage were incurred by Korean-American business owners. And because they didn't have the esters in place, when there was a lot of misrepresentation of our community, even though we should have been really treated as victims, we were oftentimes, and even today, you know, still perceived as being perpetrators. And so I think for each members of the Christian Asian community, they have had their share of that misrepresentation and the consequences of it, in not having an Esther in place or Nehemiah's in place. And so I think in that way the community is starting to wake up. And I think individuals like myself, you know, who, even though I'm a first generation, I'm kind of the second generation that grew up in a first generation, and I'm kind of evolving, you know, coming into our own right of being able to speak and articulate and know the American system. And so I think our time is coming where we can build those bridges and help build that capacity in our community so ultimately we could build those partnerships, which I think is so crucial. Because, again, I think each community, each person has something to give and contribute. And yet when those voices are overlooked and not connected, I think we all miss out.
This event in D.C. is historic on multiple levels then because of the intersection of faith and community, of the church community, the Christian church community, and public policy makers, and having an opportunity to have a voice in influencing those policies. The representation that is coming is also historic because it's not a single group, but again, reflective of the KCCD mission of partnerships. It's multiple Asian American groups, you know, it's multiple Christian groups that are also supporting the voice and the and are advocating for the Asian American Pacific Island Christian community as well. And that type of partnership, those types of partnerships seem historic in their own right. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. Again, I think that the Asian American community period is also evolving. And I think in the past, it was mostly all first generation. And even to this day, I would say at a national level, over 60% are foreign born. And so again, language itself is a barrier. But I think the second generation, or that 1.5 generation like myself, we're coming into our own and we're connecting with one another. And we see that there is power in numbers and power in unity and power in connecting with the greater community as well. And so this is really an exciting time for our organization. I think we've been in the space of serving not just Korean community, but really I think we have been a voice for the Asian American community, but we are intentionally claiming this space. And I think the kind of mobilization around this White House briefing and invitation has been phenomenal. I feel tremendously blessed. I feel definitely, you know, God is behind and leading this whole initiative. And so we are looking to strengthen that AAPI Faith Alliance initiative. And we have something that we're launching called the 1000 Initiative. And we are inviting ministries who want to support, again, advancing the Asian American Christian voice in the public sphere. We ask you to sign up, and you could go to our website, aapifaithalliance.org, and, you know, sign up for the 1000 Initiative to, again, allow for really that unity that we need and that voice, and then ultimately then we could bring our gifts and share it with the greater community.
Can you share with our audience, Haypin, some of the agenda highlights Well, for next week, I know there's there is a prayer breakfast and a prayer and worship time. There's also opportunity for the attendees to speak with their elected officials directly. Can you highlight some of the other key points on the agenda?
Sure. So actually, this is interesting when I said I achieved success. So actually, for our opening evening, the Republican National Committee has reached out to us to host the opening dinner. And I know different individuals who are Republicans, but to be officially be reached out to, I think, again, is a stepping stone or a definitely a bench post in terms of our goal, again, of shining a light to the nation's capital. In addition to that, we are having a series of plenary sessions and town halls, including our the state of AAPI community, our strengths, our struggles, our role, and our influence. And I think for many of us, we are not all on the same page because there's just been so much misrepresentation of our community, and the model minority myth really, again, kills us. But at the same time, we have amazing strengths, but we as a community don't articulate that, so I believe that that session is very important. The next morning, as mentioned, we are hosting our National Asian American Pacific Islander prayer breakfast, and we are highlighting many of the key issues that we will be praying for, including human trafficking, immigration reform, mental health of the next generation. But in addition to that, I think that there are two Asian American Christians who have been imprisoned and have been treated unfairly on an international level. And so there is Kenneth Bae, who is imprisoned in North Korea, as well as Matthew and Grace Huang, who's a couple that adopted kids from Africa, and unfortunately, because of past, inconsistent access to food, she had some eating challenges, and ultimately she died when the parents had to rush her to the hospital. And the country as a whole, Qatar, doesn't understand how can an Asian family, you know, adopt a kid from Africa. And this family has been accused of organ harvesting and human trafficking. And so they've been there over a year and a half, I believe. And so those are, you know, individuals that we definitely want to lift up again as the Asian American community, and also bring it to the White House during the White House briefing to advocate for them as well. And then we're doing some, again, additional sessions, particularly to help address the theological, again, maybe barrier in terms of the Asian Christians understanding the importance of engaging the public sphere and to learn from other communities who have already done it. And so we have a speaker from the National Association of Evangelicals, also the National Latino Evangelical Coalition, World Relief, Jim Wallace from Sojourner Magazine, and a number of others who are coming to help us understand on mobilizing the faith community for civic engagement. We're also getting some legislative training, again, from individuals like Krista Kai, who's the executive director for the Congressional Asian Pacific American Caucus, to then an afternoon session on navigating government and corporate resources. And we, again, have this great lineup of speakers who, whether they're from foundations, corporations, or government agencies, and how the faith community and the nonprofit community could connect and engage and partner with them and really, again, leverage those resources and increase their impact. We do have a fun exercise called speed networking. And instead of speed dating, we'll be lining people up, and one side will pretend to be funders, the other side will pretend to be grant seekers, and we'll be doing a series of eliminations, and ultimately they'll do it in front of a real funders who will ultimately decide, and the winner will get a check. So we thought that would be a fun way to help them in terms of speaking up, but also then being able to exercise navigating the system as well. The third day, with the White House briefing and the finishing town hall, we are also going to, as mentioned, visit with members of Congress who will have a photo op at the U.S. Capitol, and we'll end the whole summit with an awards gala And again, we have some amazing individuals whom we are honoring, in addition to the congressional members who have made really an impact, whether it's Congressman Ed Royce, Judy Chu, or Mike Honda. And with that, we have some great entertainers and performers, and we'll be able to praise God and come home hopefully equipped to do more in our local communities.
The website again is www.aapifaithalliance.org. That's aapifaithalliance.org. You can also learn more about our guest today, Haypin M, at kccd.org. Haypin, you know, in closing, Pastor Herman Martyr, he's the founding pastor of Nations Worship Center. He made a, you know, he's been attributed with making a comment or a statement that says that the values that we represent are faith, strong family ties, good work ethics, and so much more, and that we can use these values to help influence our nation for success. It seems that what you've shared today is summarized in that statement as well, and the mission of what will be accomplished next week in Washington, D.C. And we wish you tremendous success, and we do ask the Sylvia Global audience to be supportive of this effort. And again, congratulations, Haypin.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any closing comments from you?
I think Herman said it very well. And again, I think that we all, each one of us, have something amazing to offer and contribute to this country. And when each voice can rise, I think that we can all be better for it. And I believe that we are moving to a new stage. But I think that there has been many also attacks. And so I ask for prayer in support of this effort.
Let's pray now. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the freedom to live in a country where we can speak and call your name. May we not take for granted what this freedom represents and what tremendous love and grace we are able to not only experience, but to be able to share with others. I thank you for the spirit of the work of those that are representing the AAPI community and who are representing our government, and how they're coming together to unite for a successful nation that's beneficial to all members of our society in order to shine a light and to be a bright light of love and hope and inspiration. I thank you so much, Lord, for Haypin M and the KCCD board and all of the many wonderful people who have been working just extremely diligently to bring this message and this service and this effort to into being. Protect them and guide them, and may you forever be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take
it
care.
It is well appreciated.
You've been listening to Sylvia Global Media. I've been your host, Gail Sylvia. You can learn more about Haypin M and the upcoming AAPI Faith Alliance at sylviaglobal.com. Have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.